We're interrupting this podcast to ask you a very important question. Have you had your Hershey's? When you need to brighten up your day, put a smile on your face with the classic creamy texture and pure milk chocolate flavor of Hershey's milk chocolate. Whether you're eating it on the go, breaking off a few pieces for s'mores night, or just treating yourself to something sweet, Hershey's milk chocolate checks all the boxes. Shop for Hershey's milk chocolate now at a store near you, found wherever candy is sold.
Moncrief on News Talk.
In the studio now, proof that you don't need money to be happy. Barbara and Declan are here.
Impoverished
Barbara. Yeah, and Declan are here, to try and convince you that it's better to live life without money. Right, anyway, here's the first question. I've been with my partner for 5 years. We're currently saving to get a mortgage. The only way we can really save and live in Dublin, where we both work, is if we move in with my partner's parents. We have agreed to do this for the next year, and I'm absolutely dreading it. We're due to move in at the end of the month when the lease on our apartment is up, and I don't know how I'm going to cope. I know this is the best thing for us financially, but I can't stand my in-laws. I don't know how I'll be realistically be able to live in the same house as them. My partner's mother seems nice at first, but is so overbearing. She doesn't respect our privacy, and any time we've had to stay over before, she has barged into the bedroom without even knocking. Her dad sees me. His dad sees me as the difficult, demanding one, and always brings up my partner's previous ex, which I think is so rude. I've chatted to my partner about my nerves and how things could go badly, but he just bats me away. They're his parents, and he loves them, and he can't see any of their faults. I'm really worried about boundaries and how to manage this situation.
Oh dear. I guess what this writer is saying, that this isn't going to be an easy year potentially, but I think there's a few things that she can do in order to make it more bearable on herself. And the first thing is to start with her own attitude. I think if you're going in with the attitude, this is going to be awful, I hate his parents-in-law, his mother's overbearing, his father keeps talking about the ex, you know, and it's all annoying. I think I'm a firm believer that if whatever you say and you think very often is what gets delivered to you by the universe. So I think you need to start by kind of going, it'll be fine. It won't be the best fun possibly, you know, it won't be the greatest crack I've had, but it will be okay and we will get through it. You will need a little bit of patience and tolerance and all that to equip you through the year. But I think the other thing, so there's mind in your attitude and what your mind is telling you about the year. But the other thing is to bear in mind, the second thing would be to have a chat with your other half, to have a serious chat with him about setting a few gentle boundaries. Bearing in mind, this isn't your house. It is their house and you're a guest, unfortunately. But at the same time, things like the privacy issue shouldn't be, should be respected in fairness. And I think that you need to have a chat with your other half about that, about him dealing with that with his mother or the two of them, if that's necessary. And you need to do that without criticising the in-laws, you know, because I think that then you're on a hiding to nothing.
Yeah.
But if you just can gently kind of explain to him that you need to be confident that if you're in your room, that mammy in law is not going to come barging in, you know, with absolutely no notice. And then, as I say, the third thing is really to remember that you're doing this because it suits you.
They're not probably thrilled about it themselves.
They're probably not delighted. Yeah, I mean, and they are making room for you to live with them for a year. So they're doing, you know, they're doing quite a bit. And you need to acknowledge that, and you need to respect that a little bit. As I say, you're not going to be in your own home. It is going to be in their home. It's probably not going to be great, but it'll be certainly bearable. And it's going to allow you potentially within a year to hopefully be able to move on and move out and move into your own home. And keep that in mind the whole time.
Good luck with that. It's only going to be a year.
I was going to say that, and then I thought, no, I'm not going to say that. Because I keep watching those Dermot Bannon programmes and all, where people seem to find extra money all over the shop if they need it.
They do. Yeah.
Which is amazing. But I see,
you know, my theory is that all of Dermot Bannon's clients in those shows, they're all actually drug dealers. They have cash lying around the house. That's what it is. That's how it
matters. I never got that.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's why they always have a big glass box so they can see the guards coming.
They're coming in to get them.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Now, but also your man, he doesn't see any faults in his parents. What kind of a, you know.
I mean, when I read that, I did think that is the letter writer here the kind of person that's just seeing the problems with everybody else and, you know, not seeing the issue with herself. Is there a kind of a She's an awful one, and this one, because like it seems to me that her idea of the parents are based on individual events. Like, does the dad really bring up the ex all of the time? Or did he just do it once and you're taking it against him for the rest of his life? And did the mother really just go, you know, come in all the time? Or did it just happen once?
Yeah.
In which case,
that's very true.
You know, I'm not accepting your evidence. So basically, you know, this is just vibes. And your vibe is that you don't really want to do this, but you know you have to. So you're kind of annoyed. And then your partner or husband person is kind of just going, you know,
he's just going home.
Have a grip. Yeah. No, it's easier for him. Of course, it is easier for him.
He's just going home.
Yeah. And it is, you know, moving into somebody else's territory is stressful.
Yeah.
It's the privacy. And if you're somebody that really likes your own privacy and wants to, you know, have your own space.
Yourself, yeah.
Particularly when you want to protect yourself from, you know, the other people who you're not sure you like. This could either be a scenario where you bond with them, or you're going to be up in your room like a teenager on your device for the entire year and 2 years or five years it takes to get this to happen.
That she has to bear in mind is that she's, you know, they're saving, they're obviously, their relationship is going to be a serious one. They're going to get a mortgage and they're going to get a house together. Potentially these in-laws are going to be, she won't be living with them, but they'll be in her life.
Absolutely.
You know, for the long haul. So in her own interests and her own sanity, you know, she's got to find a way to deal with that. And as you say, you know, they may not be as bad as she has portrayed them. But also I think a lot of it comes from her own attitude of stopping this, like, I really hate them. Really annoy me. I really don't like them, because that just makes everything worse.
She's made her bed in by getting involved with this guy. They're his family, you know, it's like, you know, it is a scenario where it's just be the adult in the room. Then you need to grow up a little bit and stop seeing a problem that isn't there.
Yeah, but maybe talk to the parents rather than having chats with him, because in these kind of scenarios that they have to make rules about. Meals. Who cooks at what time?
Who's what in
laundry?
The
fridge. Yeah. Hoover our own room. You don't need to be barging in looking for knickers or that kind of stuff. You know, all that stuff.
Yeah. Because that's true.
That's where the explosions can happen.
Yeah, I think the kind of the casual, we'll wait and see attitude from the partner needs to be nipped in the bud. Yeah, and this whole thing, right down to the actual amount of time this is going to be, needs to be agreed. Like, there needs to be a kind of a pre-commitment about, this is going to be a year.
Yeah.
And then we'll come back to this discussion if it needs to be longer than that. This is the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
This is where we're going
to
have.
But she also has to approach that in the knowledge that they're doing her the favour.
Yeah.
She's not doing them a favour. Yeah. They're doing her a favour.
You can approach that in a way you're saying, thank you so much. This is a massive favour.
We so appreciate
it. In order for this to work out best for everybody, and that we're not in each other's hair and that it doesn't negatively affect our relationships, you know, we just need to have some kind of boundary. So it is stuff
I do think, though, if she's saying this about them, I would get the impression that perhaps they might be saying a little bit like that about her, and that's why I would think I would think that maybe having the son involved in that negotiation would be very important, rather than just her coming in and laying down the law, which is how it may be perceived.
Yeah.
So I think he does need to be in that discussion and negotiation.
Yeah.
My wife and I have been together for 15 years. We always had a great relationship, and I can genuinely say she's my best friend. In the last 3 years, we've welcomed our two children, and to be honest, they turned our whole lives upside down. I love my kids. I didn't expect to miss my old life so much, and the relationship I had with my wife. We used to laugh, go out together, and have great sex. Ooh, that sounds like a hell of a night out. But since our children have come along, it's like we're just wading through life. I know the early years of being a parent are hard, but I didn't think they'd be this hard. And some days I look at my wife and don't recognise the person I fell in love with. She's exhausted and irritable and under pressure. She's due to go back to work after maternity leave in a few months, and she's already on about having another baby. I don't want a third child. I want her old life back. And I know that once a third kid comes along, it's game over for the couple we used to be. I feel like I'm powerless. What should I do?
Yikes. There's a lot going on in there. Like, obviously, you know, in the core thing, it's kind of a family planning conversation, where planning a family is easy if you both want to do the same thing.
Yeah.
You can kind of, you can get straight to the logistics of the issue of, like, when is it going to happen and how are you going to pay for it and all that kind of stuff. When you've got two people in a relationship that seem to have different opinions about how things are going to go going forward, particularly when there may be constraints as to when it can actually happen for biological as well as financial reasons, the whole thing is kind of messy. And the worst way to approach that is to kind of go into it without having fully explored what it is that you both actually want. Because there are loads of ways in which the dreams and plans that you have for your relationship together can go a little bit off the rails. A lot of those reasons can be external to your relationship, that your, you know, economic situation outside of the house and all kinds of things can, you know, just push you off your plan. And also then this changing your mind as you're going along. You know, if you've already decided that you're going to have two kids and then, oh, now we're talking about an extra kid, mm-hmm. that's the whole reappraisal of where you're going with things. I do wonder, though, whether this guy is kind of looking back over his shoulder and remembering being a 20-year-old and going, I wish I could be a 20-year-old again. That's never going to happen. Maybe.
Yeah, you know, it's game over already. He's got the two kids.
And kind of, you know, and that doesn't have to be a bad thing. You know,
it's not game over either, because it's not game over.
It's game paused. I know, but he seems to think there's going to be a huge difference between having three and having two, you know.
Oh, that's a slippery slope. Are you saying you might as well have three as to have two?
No, but I mean, He implicit in what he seems to be saying was that if they just stick with the two children, it'll go back to when they were 20-year-olds.
Yeah,
and
that's
it won't. Yeah.
No, but it will gradually start to move in that direction.
Sure. Yeah.
As in because if they don't have another baby.
And the pressures. The pressures lessen. But I think the first thing that I think, as you say, he needs to address is that he's looking back over his shoulder to the good old days when there was just the two of them. And I mean, we can all do that. Mm. But I do think that there is a genuine, and I know I've said this before in this lot, and I won't get up in a soapbox about it, but I think the way we've set up society now, which requires young families with two parents, that they both have to be out at work full time in order to keep the lights on and food on the table and the mortgage paid, is really, really tough.
Yeah.
It was tough when I was doing it 25 years ago and 20 years ago. But it's actually got worse, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, I had the luxury of being able to afford for one of us to stay home for a while and we could survive. But that's not an option anymore. And I don't think we talk about that enough. It really is hard.
But I don't think he's talking about managing the world going forward. He's talking about going back to a time when himself and
but you see, obviously you think of that if the current place that you're in, which nobody tells you, is tough, and nobody even acknowledges that it is tough. Like, we kind of think, oh, as long as there's childcare, everything is great. No, it's not, because your whole life gets pushed into the sidelines of outside of work. Everything else has to fit in there, and it is hard. So I think, you know, I can understand how he's feeling so frustrated with life at the moment. And I equally think for her, I've only just thought of this right now. He said they've had two babies in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
So obviously the youngest is quite young. And she's obviously due to go back to work now. One way of not going back to work for very long is to get pregnant again.
Yeah.
And I kind of wonder, you know, subconsciously even, does that play into her, oh, sure, maybe we'll have another one. And then added to that is what you were kind of saying, which I kind of said in the past as well, is like, sure, we have two, we might as well have three. Like, it's chaos anyway. Sure, how much more chaos can it be? But it's not the chaos, it's the time. It's the fact that, you know, as the kids grow older, those pressures do start to release a little bit. And whereas you don't go back to being 20. Whatever, 20 again.
But you can
get easier.
It doesn't seem like he's talked to her about this, but if he doesn't want a third child, it's like, it's up to the couple, surely, not just the woman.
And that's the worrying thing, that he says he feels powerless.
Yeah.
He shouldn't feel powerless. Like what you were saying, like, you both have to.
But I think the powerlessness in life is often a product of having not evaluated what's going on and actually working out what it is you actually want to do.
Yeah.
It's just this general sense. It's a general sense of powerlessness is rooted to, like, I know I don't like where I am right now, but I don't know where I'm going. And that kind
and
of directionless is more what that is. I think if he was to actually just evaluate what it is he wants out of life realistically, and not going, I want to go back to being Jack the lad when I was 20 and having a great old time, going for drinks whenever I wanted and, you know, having my lovely looking girlfriend with me at all times. That's not going to happen, because, you know, you're going to have to consider your children, because you brought them into the world. You know, they're there now. And if you bring another one in, that's, you know, as you say, that's adding to the duration for which you'll be responsible for children.
But they are at the point where it is, I think, in my view, it is hardest when the kids are very young
and
very demanding, and you're probably not getting enough night's sleep and all of that. It's really tough where he is at the moment. But as you say, they can't, as a couple, as a family, make a decision on another baby unless both of them are on board. And he needs to have that conversation, and he needs to have the space where he can express, without him feeling guilty about it, the fact that at the moment he doesn't want another child. He has to be able to be allowed to say that. And she equally has to be able to have the space and time to say, I actually really, really do, and lay out the reasons why.
I also, something that just popped into my head now is that a lot of what we're talking about is the practical side about living a life when you have now got children.
Yeah.
And when you do that, a lot of the emotional side of what you were like as a couple kind of gets pushed aside.
That's
so his kind of, you know, wouldn't it be nice side of his life is gone.
Yeah.
It's all like, we have to be here for this time, and feeding, you know, kids, work, and all, everything is a routine. It's a schedule.
Yes, it is, yeah.
And just the kind of niceties of life get kind of, you know,
they
get thrown away as if they're not important, but they are important. And I think as well, maybe because they're not having a chance to have this conversation, that he doesn't recognise that she feels exactly the same way.
Yeah.
And that maybe a conversation about that part, and maybe introducing some way in which they can bring some of the kind of the kind of frivolous niceties back into their world.
I mean, the obvious kind of compromise would be to have that conversation, as you outlined there, and maybe just delay the decision for a year, assuming she has the time to do that.
Yeah.
Delay the decision for a year, because I often think as well, I know in my own case, it was when each of my babies were a year old that I became like, oh, I'd love another one. And I don't know if that's hormonal or something that happens, but by 2 years you're going, no, you know what, I'm grand.
And maybe having a conversation about this when you're totally sleep deprived isn't the best time either.
Well, exactly.
Maybe that's an argument he could use. I'm a single farmer. I've been dating regularly now for about a year, since a big breakup a couple of years ago. I enjoy going on dates and meeting new women. However, I find that very few women I meet are interested in the prospect of an agricultural way of life. I live quite remotely in a big enough farmhouse. I can't move, obviously, as this is the farm I inherited. My family has farmed this land for generations. Whenever a woman I am dating eventually comes out to the farmhouse, they don't seem to like the place. I'm a bachelor. It may not be the Ritz, but it's functional and has four walls and a roof.
He's really selling it.
He really is, yeah. I'm trying to figure out how to make myself, my farm and my home a more attractive proposition to women. I'm reluctant to change much in the house, as I like to keep it the way my mother had it before she died.
There you go.
There's your key sentence.
There it is.
Perkins in Psycho.
Yeah.
I know, in fairness, I loved this letter. I thought this letter was brilliant. And I love the fact that, unlike a lot of people who get in contact with us, this guy is clearly going on dates and meeting women.
Yeah.
So that's not the issue here. Yeah. He's going on dates and he's meeting people. And I don't think even the issue is that nobody's interested particularly in farming. You know, if you go on,
it's maybe the reality of farming.
Instagram is full of these women living in these fabulous country places with chickens and hens and ducks, and you know, it's all fab. But I think it is. I think the last sentence of his letter gives us an insight into what's going wrong here. He's basically living in his parents' house.
Yeah.
And he has done nothing with it. And he's quite happy with that. And he doesn't see that that's an issue. But it clearly is an issue, because for any woman coming in, they're going, oh God, like, this is like a mausoleum now to his parents and to his childhood and to the fact that his family have farmed this land for generations. And I get all of that. But that's what's unattractive about the prospect that he's offering.
Exactly. So when they're saying, you know, do you want to come back to see my my farm? They don't realise that they're coming back to 1972.
Exactly. And I mean, I'm not suggesting that he goes in and blitz the place and throw everything out that was dear to his parents. You can keep stuff, but like, you know, a lick of paint, changing the carpet, changing the old wallpaper, giving the place a little bit of a facelift.
I'm seeing the scene from Calamity Jane when Doris Day does that, a woman's touch to fix up her cabin and make everything lovely so that a woman will come and stay in her house.
I never saw Clamp. Well, do you know what he's talking about?
I thought it was a cowboy film, I thought.
Why did I make it sound like a lesbian
movie? He saw the gay one.
Read the subtext, people. Read the subtext.
Okay, right. That all went straight over my head.
So, but I mean, this fella probably isn't big on interior decoration anyway.
No, but he could, I'm sure if he has, like, if he has all, if he has a halfway decent social life, I'm sure he knows somebody who could help him in this. And he doesn't have to spend a fortune, but he does have to get rid of stuff that is, as Declan said, does, bringing everybody back to the 1970s.
And it's also, look, you know, if you're going to bring somebody into your life, no matter what way you're introducing, like, a partner, you have to give them partner status and not being sort of, these are the rules and the place can't be changed.
That's
the deal breaker from the beginning. So already from the start, you're giving off inflexible vibes, and that's a turn off.
And I mean, I didn't think of this at the time, but like, obviously, if you are a farmer, that's a whole different proposition than our last couple who are looking to buy a house together and they'll both have input to it. You're offering something that's already a kind of a done deal. So you do need to make it attractive.
You're hiring somebody, you know, and this is where you'll be working and this is where you're cooking and this is where, you know.
Okay, we don't want to go that far, but
here's
maybe,
Mammy and Daddy's bed.
Yeah. And there's Mammy over there in the corner.
I was born in this very bed. Yeah. No, none of that's a good look.
No.
So you need to have, you know, get in touch with some, probably a female who will help you do this. And it doesn't need to cost you a fortune. And you can keep certain things belonging to Mammy in the house because I think that's lovely.
Sure.
But you don't need to have the whole house as a mausoleum.
It was. Yeah, as one texter says, the two phrases I want to share my life with somebody and I don't want to change anything about my life are completely incompatible.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah, it's probably about more than just the house.
Do you think?
Possibly.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think he's a bit, you know, inflexible.
It's him.
Yeah, he's not.
Could be,
He's going, this is the
I
way it is.
I thought he sounded like a nice fella. Yeah, but I think he's coming from a good place. I think he doesn't see why this offering isn't attractive to somebody. Hopefully now he goes, oh, okay. But I don't think necessarily it's him. I just think maybe he just thinks this farmhouse is lovely and it's not. No, I don't think he's not lovely.
No, he says he knows it's not the risk and he describes it as having four walls and a roof, which is pretty basic. And to not understand that mightn't be the most attractive thing to somebody who he's hoping to woo into, you know, sharing his life. And also not accepting the fact that people like to put their own mark on where they're going to be living. And that's, you know, that's the issue. Mm. The issue is, I don't necessarily think he needs to spend money in advance to make it a pretty place for somebody else, but they might want to do it themselves. Would you live in somewhere and not put your own mark in it, Barbara?
Me?
Yeah, I can't imagine you moving into a house and not going, I want to change everything.
No, but I think most people want to.
But if it's like his mammy's house, right?
That's awful.
And so that's a traditional thing where the daddy was the farmer and she was a farmer's wife. And so any potential partner comes in and goes, right, I see.
You know
it's red flag. You might as well hang a big red flag outside.
And obviously, if his family were farming for generations this land, in fact, the mother probably came into this house as a married woman to live in his parents', his grandparents' house, if you know what I mean. So, yeah, it definitely needs a bit of a shake-up for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, a farmhouse, in my head, I have this lovely romantic notion of a lovely old farmhouse in the country that could be gorgeous with an old aga, nice rocking chair.
Growing your own vegetables.
Cows lowing outside in the field.
Tell the farmer to buy a few plug-in air fresheners. The house probably smells of cow shite. It's not Downton Abbey your man's living in. It's a 90s or 2000 style house at worst.
No, it must be
maybe
older
a bungalow
than that
blitz
if it was...
job. Yeah, could be that.
Anna, when you say a farmhouse, I see a two-story farmhouse. You know, the kind of symmetrical, traditional Irish... Oh, please tell me it's a traditional... We need a photograph. Could you send us a photograph?
Yeah, I know, like a John Hind type.
Not even a John Hind. I mean, I can see it being a bit dilapidated, but I can see it with loads of potential. Yeah. Do you know? You could have...
Dermot Bannon job. That's what we do. Finally, somebody texted in saying, I think my husband just texted in relation to that second question. That was a fellow who didn't want the third child. Tell him to quit texting the radio and come home and help with changing some nappies. Oh. Then he might find some time to get the ride. So there you go. Good advice to everybody there. If you have any problems for Declan and Barbara and Declan too, I'd tell you you're a fool about, you can send them into afternoon@newstalk.com. Barbara and Declan, thanks a million, as ever.
Bye. Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on Newstalk.
We're interrupting this podcast to ask you a very important question. Have you had your Hershey's? When you need to brighten up your day, put a smile on your face with the classic creamy texture and pure milk chocolate flavor of Hershey's milk chocolate. Whether you're eating it on the go, breaking off a few pieces for s'mores night, or just treating yourself to something sweet, Hershey's milk chocolate checks all the boxes. Shop for Hershey's milk chocolate now at a store near you, found wherever candy is sold.